Aquaman has seen his first audience, Black Adam gets updated, and Alec Baldwin will not dance with the devil in the pale moonlight? Today on DC Movie News.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's DC Movie News.
Oh, damn it!
I took that thing out.
What did you do? What did you even do, Adam?
Right on the bed.
You're broken.
How did you do that? Oh, and it's still so twisted.
Yeah. Oh my God. Ooh.
Anybody on iTunes right now has no idea what they just missed over on YouTube.
Adam just punched the TV with his bad hand.
Is it bleeding?
I think I literally hit it with the stitches.
No.
Like literally right in the stitches. If you were trying to kick it, I'm fine. I'm fine. Let's move on. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to DC Movie News, the outlaw DC show brought to you by the Popcorn Talk Network.
Renegade.
That's right. We're out there. We're living on the edge.
Living on the edge.
My name is Adam Gertler, and I'm here joined by a very exciting panel of DC fans, some with amazing stories. Joining us once again, we have Elena Jordan here.
Hey.
Hello, Elena.
Hello.
Elena was in Hawaii for this con. We have a not-so-great tale of a con.
Tale of the tape.
Yeah.
Let's go to the tale of the tape.
It's being rescheduled, so if you're going to be in Oahu in February...
As I always am.
You should go to the amazing Comic-Con Aloha. I actually do think it's going to be even better this time, so I'm excited about February, but it was kind of a bummer that the...
It's going to be better than the time it was just canceled?
100%.
Than it would have been.
Honestly, but what's cooler than leaving LA in the only month that it gets kind of crappy to go to Hawaii?
Like, I love LA in
And what's
in February.
Crazy was...
That weather.
There was no rain, like at all. The convention center ended up being the ones who pulled the plug, and so.
Can I ask, what is it about Hawaii that, like, I mean, I get why you'd want the convention there, but it seems like such an odd destination. Like, it's on an island away from everyone.
That's why it's so awesome.
Is that why it's cool? Because it's everyone just goes. Is it like a destination con.
Well, there's also a lot of people who live on the island, and then there's also the bases on the island, too. And so it's, like, kind of secluded, and so bringing in entertainment and bringing in your favorite
creators. So a lot of military
creators.
Can go to the con.
Yeah, a lot of military can go to the con.
I bet there's a lot of comic fans in the military.
Yeah, and it's kind of cool to be able to go and kind of support the troops with things that we all appreciate and enjoy, and getting to bring these comic book creators out there. And the fact that it's a convention that really, really cares about the comics is pretty cool. So.
I answered my own question, I think.
Yeah, there you go.
Destination con. All right, well, so we're
Elena answered your question.
Yeah, thanks, Mike.
Yeah, so we're going to
answer my
own. I give you this whole
Roxy,
answer.
Every here we go. What do we got? We're 5 minutes into DC Movie News, and Roxy's already attacking.
And we are not even barely halfway through.
I see it as defending me.
Guys, you can't beat the chemistry on this show. Am I right? Am I right?
The introductions will proceed. Sometimes you see him, sometimes you don't. The man of mystery, the K-ruption, the killer, Mr. Mike Kalinowski. Mikey Christmas is here.
Everybody. Mike is clapping for himself. Yes, he is.
Wait a second. I have to defend Mike off the bat because I know. Okay,
it's twice
you
now.
Have
here we go.
Choreographed dances for yourself with songs that you sing about yourself that have no refined choruses all the time. And you're going to give this man guff for clapping for himself?
Guff, you gave
the
me
goal
guff.
Of you, the crown jewel of the DC Universe, Roxy Stryer is also
I gotta
here.
Say,
double
the,
introduction.
The crown jewel is tarnished today.
I feel
tarnished.
As if I have perfected my chorus. Thank
defending
you very much.
Defending Roxy. Here's my song. Here's my song.
Defending Roxy. Here's our song.
Yeah.
Thank you, Adam, for that compliment.
And you are tarnished today. You are
off
tarnished.
The rails. Well, guys, it's really good to be with you guys to discuss some DC news.
It's a good week. It's a good week for news.
Week.
We had a couple weeks in a row there where we were grasping at them straws.
So. Yeah, and so now there's lots to talk about, and a lot of us also will talk about probably more in TV time, but the DC Universe Online launch pre-show.
Yeah.
Situation, which we alluded to and talked about last week on last week's show, debuted. I gotta say, I can't wait to talk more about it because I already signed up for that thing, so I'm excited about some of the.
Is it too late to apologize?
No, nope, stop.
Is it too late to sign up pre-sale?
Well, that's what they were advertising yesterday, so I imagine that pre-sale was ending like this week. I don't know. Chat roll, let us know when that ended, but I paid for it. I advance paid for it to get the...
I might be my wrong. Friend. I thought it was today. I think it's through September 1st. Am I wrong?
That's
Ooh,
tomorrow.
So then you have
that's
till tomorrow.
So I think you...
So
but
that's
I
great.
Might be wrong. I might be
okay.
wrong.
Did you do it?
What?
Never mind.
I did not. I did not.
Are you waiting to see the platform, or are you not sure it's on it?
Get it?
I did
I'm
not.
Curious because aside for the live shows...
We're jumping right in, guys. It looks like we're jumping right in.
Everything that they're offering aside for the live shows, I have.
Right.
Like, I own every DC movie. I own all the animated, so it's like... I pre-ordered
comic books?
Oh, God, Roxy. The comic books that I have. I know.
And I don't know how, when it comes down to it, like, I don't know how much comic books I will watch on TV. That
I'm
seems
not a digital
like crazy.
Guy. I'm not a digital when it comes to comics. I'm not.
But it's like, if I'm sitting down at that TV, I'm so ingrained, like... I don't know. I mean, I think the one thing I might do it on is Doom Patrol, for example, because yes. I don't know yeah. Doom Patrol, and the fact that I'm excited to see those comics of Doom Patrol and, like, read a bunch of them and then jump right into a live-action series, that seems cool. I do also like being able to slide into an episode of Flash from the 90s, yeah. like, randomly. And
yeah. Well, we get into it now. I'll have more of my thoughts on what I
okay.
What
so
I
we talking about
happen.
More on TV time, you think?
Yeah.
Is it more of a...
yeah.
Well, it's interesting.
Yes.
It's not like TV...
But
because people have been asking me, like, Mike, they're saying, Mike, DC Universe, is it a TV show? I was like, no, it's
well,
what is streaming.
It's
kind of
like what Netflix is, though. Netflix
yes.
is almost a TV channel, so it kind of is.
It's TV because we watch it on TV, but a lot
it's
of people don't
TV.
Watch on TV.
It's DC
it's
streaming.
The new thing, guys. It's the new thing that we've been doing.
Yeah,
it's
and
the
I'm
model.
Probably I'm the old man of this panel, so...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's jump into... that was our little preamble, guys. Lots to talk about. I'm sure the chat roll is lighting up right now with
yeah.
All kinds of comments about
this. I'll try to remember some of your comments for later on when we get into this, or just rewrite them and make
okay,
my job
well,
easy.
Let's talk about one of the properties that we've known about the longest in the DC film universe, and then we've got the least updates, and it's just kind of gone on, and that is Dwayne The Rock Johnson
Do
taking the role
smell?
Of Black Adam. Excellent artwork there. So this has been talked about since, what, 2013? Or even before, it's
yeah.
been like...
I want to say it was around BBS time, yeah.
Yes. Okay.
So 5 years?
Okay.
At least. Right.
Yeah, that, so this...
Yeah, because there was always talk that he might pop up in BBS.
You're
and,
saying around BBS talk time, not BBS air
yeah,
time.
I'm saying
air
like 5 years.
Before
yeah.
it even
I'd
came out.
I'd say 5 years.
It does go back a while. Okay, so what do you guys... so basically the update is that it's definitely happening. It's nothing too concrete. The update that they're working on the script, they're happy with the script. But the long and the short of it seems to be that they're wanting us to believe that Black Adam, which is clearly from the, you know, Captain Marvel, Shazam universe, is not going to appear in Shazam, which is like... very interesting in that it seems like they're going to try to give them each their own movies and then bring them together, a la what we're seeing with King Kong Godzilla and King Kong v. Godzilla sort
it
of situation.
Just kind of reiterating
yeah.
what we had already been...
They're trying to make a mini Shazam-averse within
well,
this non-aligned
DC great
universe.
Is the fact that if they go and set it all in Kondak, like in his... With that, that's you know you've got
oh,
a whole,
that story the Adam story being like in the, on Earth like
no well Kandak is in like it's a made up Middle Eastern
okay
that they
but
can
it's
say
not,
it's the Middle East but it's not Middle
it's
East.
Not interdimensional
no
in
it's
any way.
It's just another nation
okay
it's kind of like Cora Maltese that the deep Batman creates these somewhat you know because they can don't have to get political with it but they can create their own thing.
Yes.
I think set it over there set it in a foreign country and eventually because of the wizards and whatnot they're tied. And you can bring them together eventually.
Yeah. I think that the reason that they decided to at least give us a little bit of an update, which is saying, hey, not sure exactly when, but this is still happening, even though you're not seeing him in Shazam, is because, number one, there is still a lot of people out there who have not – that hasn't gotten around to them yet. All the time I talk to my friends that are not big DC fans, and they're like, oh, yeah, when's that The Rock one coming out, Shazam?
Because they're Rock fans.
A lot of people think that, first of all, that The Rock is Shazam. Even
yeah.
regardless of the fact
well, remember
that
for the longest time
trailers.
People were saying that it was a fake out and that he was
both
that's
yeah.
it was a popular
so,
rumor
there's
that.
That and then second on top of that there was also a couple announcements this week about Dwayne Johnson with his new Hawaiian King movie
yes
Zemeckis film
yeah
sounds very
Robert
good
Zemeckis,
I'm excited about that
the Robert Zemeckis one and so I think they just wanted to say like we know he has other things going on but this is still one of his projects so you guys are clear
yeah
Just
yeah.
to make sure people like, don't panic.
I think it's smart to reiterate, yeah, to be like, look, even if you don't see him in Shazam, that doesn't mean that we have cut ties with Dwayne Johnson.
Exactly.
We're still
yeah.
developing
well, Mike,
this.
What do you think? What is your yes, excitement so. About Dwayne playing this character or what's going
hey,
on with the little Shazamiverse right now?
You know, I was one of the guys who never thought Shazam was going to get made, and here it is. It's coming out in, what, 6 months? So
April 5th?
I
we called Swerve on that so
yeah,
many times.
Yeah, so I'm like, I think, but I think separating it, and Black Adam is such a big part of the comics, I'd say, within the past 10 years. And in the Justice games, he's so big in those. But
in
it's
New
also
52,
in that,
he kind of became hot
yeah.
recently. It's true.
Yeah,
it's
he's
true.
Not a, he's not been a big thing, you know, in the 80s and 90s and early 2000s. So it's like, okay. But I think setting it on a separate country, that is a whole whole world that would open up for them storytelling wise.
I do gotta say, I think that's a great idea, and my personal opinion on it is that, like, I like The Rock, but I'm not a big fan of The Rock's movies. Like, I can't think of a Rock film that I would say is a classic for me. And I'm an older dude, you know, I'm an Arnold guy.
With you. I like
Arnold
him.
Doesn't have the charm that The Rock has, but for me, it has never landed with the right balance of tone and his best efforts to me. And I think it's only coming. I think this Zemeckis film sounds incredible, and I think Black Adam is the right tier of popularity character for somebody who is so much bigger than life to portray. Like, I think if he were to portray a more mainstream, any more popular of a character, it would not be a good match.
You know, it's interesting because a lot of people, I view him, and we've talked about this, like, he's such a personality to me.
Yes.
I don't see a character. But a lot of people, that's why they don't like, what I view Tom Cruise as Hal Jordan, like, he's too much of a personality.
Yeah.
I can't see him as a superhero and take him seriously.
And you were not pro that? You did not like
that? I
love
Tom Cruise as Green Lantern.
Oh, you do?
So I do see it, but with The Rock, he's so charming to me and he's so personable, but every time I watch him in a movie, I see that charming, personable guy. I don't see a character fleshed out in the story. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I see The Rock. I see that's Dwayne Johnson right there being Dwayne Johnson. I don't see him lost in a character. And it's also, if this movie was made 14 years ago when The Rundown came out, absolutely. Because watch, I think The Rundown is one of his best films.
You don't feel that way?
No, I said that. Oh, you said she said,
yeah, I feel like The Rock is a great actor. I don't want to say anything against Tom Cruise because I know how much you love Tom Cruise, but I feel like that's a big thing that people say about him is that it's like, you know, you're going to see this, you know.
I have a hard time with Tom Cruise films now, even though I still see them. And
do you think that's a generational thing?
I don't know. Ooh. I have a hard time watching Handmaid's Tale now that I know about Elizabeth Moss. Like, I have a really
hard
time.
What are you knowing about them?
That they're Scientologists. That they're two
people. I disassociate that.
I have a really hard
instantly.
Time separating that art and the artist. Oh. I'm not good at that.
You done that with Kevin? Can you do that with Kevin Spacey?
No.
I can't. I cannot separate that.
But that's different.
Tom Cruise doesn't
bug me. I will say that there's a difference between sexually assaulting people and being a part of an organization that I don't believe in.
Agreed.
That doesn't stand for things I believe in. And so I'm not saying I don't watch Tom Cruise's films. I do. I went and saw Mission Impossible. It was awesome.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But I have a harder time with him as opposed to The Rock, who, like, I have to say, every day I look at his Instagram. He's waking up at 4. He's a family man. He's a good guy. And so when I go see his films, like, Jumanji to me was awesome. Like, I love that.
Didn't see it. Heard it's great.
It's awesome. I even liked, which wasn't a huge hit for other people, I really liked San Andreas.
I think going Scraper. Even just against, like, the personal aspect of it is that I feel like The Rock is able to adapt to his characters really well and that he portrays them really well. I just feel like he's picked very similar characters.
Yeah.
Which I think is why that's, like, coming across to you, whereas this is a totally different character that I think he'll be able to bring.
It's... Well, it goes to the sense of, like, he will never not be 6'5", 250 pounds.
Yeah.
Like, and then they did that Jumanji skyscraper thing, and he all had, like, the tan shirt, sweaty, covered in sweat.
Yeah,
the,
like, meme of the same
outfit. All,
I know.
But I love him. And like you said, Roxy, too, waking up every day, he seems like such an amazing guy. Like, I bet working with him on set is probably the funnest thing in the world to do.
It sounds like
that
you guys all agree.
Him.
Okay, because you got to say this. I think it's fair to say that Tom Cruise has been way more great movies. And Dwayne is really easy to love. That's what I'm saying, too. I'm saying for me, I'm saying the same thing as Mike, I think, is that I haven't had that one movie where I'm like,
Westy
it's
kid.
Just that Die Hard, that big mama jam.
What I'm saying is, since this is going to be his first kind of foray into something so different from anything that he's done before.
But then you can say that about Hercules, where it's like he tried to be different and covered in...
A couple of different things from the chat that I want to mention.
Okay.
Number one, Westy Kid saying, no, I didn't like Baywatch. I don't think anybody here is standing up for that.
Nobody
so
is.
Just to be perfectly clear. Xeno Hour has a question for us, though, and I am curious if you guys have some answers. My question is, who should direct Black Adam? Since Sandberg directed Shazam, maybe another director with a horror background, how about J.A. Bayona? How do you guys feel about who should direct Black Adam? Any strong thoughts?
Oh, J.A. Bayona, who did he do the most recent Jurassic film, or was it the second one?
I think it was the second. Let me look.
Yeah. Okay, well, yeah, I think that's a good pick. I mean, yeah, I think clearly that we're looking at a really dark film, a dark side action film, like very opposite tone of Shazam. But so
he did Fallen Kingdom. That's why Penny Dreadful is probably a lot of the horror which he's talking about, which I love.
Huge fan of that show.
The Orphanage, Monster Calls. So a couple different.
Yes to all that.
Yeah.
I agree.
That would be interesting.
I mean, throwing this out just because he's a friend of mine and we went to school together back in Alabama, but Adam Wingard, who did You're Next, who also did Outcast, He did a really amazing adaptation. And I know Outcast is a lot more horror-driven of a comic, but he brought Robert Kirkman's dream to life, and it was pretty phenomenal. So, just throwing it out there, if anybody who makes any decisions are listening.
I think Zeno Hour has some incredible options right there, including his own recommendation. So, I think, should we move on and talk about the fact that Aquaman has been shown to some audiences at this point?
Which was us. We all saw it.
I also...
No, that is not true. That is not true. I'm calling... Oh, my God!
Whoa! Hey!
Since, unfortunately, I couldn't get you cool swag from the convention, I got you guys. So
guys, if you're listening to this, I'm sorry.
A little bit of Hawaii out for you guys.
Elena just busted out.
Thank you, sweetheart.
Black Manta.
Manta.
Pop figs.
Yeah, wow.
Little pop funk figures.
Aww.
Whoa,
I thought they were the cutest ones.
Love this.
Technically, that's a doll.
Do you know, do you know the second you just did what you, the second you just did what you did, it went down
these are two,
by 90%.
See, they're just two damn
renegades.
Collectible. These are, these things I fight daily because they're so small and collectible. So and I'm trying to declutter my house.
I just like the fact that his little, his tubes are, flexible.
Front center.
That's
so cool.
Front and center.
Elena,
so,
you are always so thoughtful. Thank you so much, honey.
Okay, so we have apparently, is this coming from Collider that we have Aquaman test screening, and there are some quotes.
Steve Weintraub. Frosty said that.
I saw Frosty say it.
Did he see? Okay, so his things
he
were
didn't say he saw it.
He said he heard good things.
That he heard good things.
And then Christopher Marcus of Omega Underground says he heard the movie is good but not great.
What's that, Batman Anthony? What's up?
He was trying to say something about your cup, but I don't think the viewers could hear. I think he was just trying to whisper it to you.
I know.
But I don't know what it was.
Oh. It said turn it.
There you go.
Get rid of it, he said. Batman Thing just came right
on. Write it to us, man.
Two Renegade on the Renegade show.
Okay, so somebody from named Christopher Marcus of Omega Underground says he's heard the movie is good, not great. Okay, he's heard. And then this is him saying, I hear it's good, not great. And that's all we can hope for in the end. I'll take it. Okay, so that's not a first name. But then we have Casey Walsh.
Aquaman was pretty good.
Of Geeks Worldwide, he compares Aquaman to Marvel Studios' earliest releases, which to me is not going out and out to layer. That's damning me with faint praise, is what I would say. That
I just rewatched those early releases.
If you're comparing it to Aquaman to Iron Man and Captain America: The First Avenger, I'm like, those are some of the best films that Marvel's made.
That is true.
Yeah,
that is true. But I wonder.
It's also subtle shade.
If you're comparing it,
it's definitely subtle shade.
You think that if you're comparing it to their early releases, saying early releases. That's what they're referring to?
Well, here's the quote. Aquaman is phase one, is a phase one MCU film through and through. So if you like those, you love it.
Which is their worst phase by far.
Let me finish the quote.
Okay.
If you didn't, you probably won't get much enjoyment out of the Aquaman pick. So that's, I guess, why the shade is implied. Because then when Mikey says, yeah, Iron Man and Captain America First Avenger are amazing. And then I guess Hulk is not as good. What else is phase one?
And I wouldn't say that those were amazing.
Which I still enjoy. I defend Iron Man.
I watched all five of those recently, and they're still great films.
Iron Man looked so much better in those first two films when they were so much more practical Iron Man. Like, that's one thing I'm upset that we've lost in the newer films, is what feels more like a tactile Iron Man.
I'll fight anyone in the fact that the design of what's
Tony Stark?
Cyborg?
Hulk, the actor.
Ruffalo's?
Who are you trying to get? Norton's.
Oh.
The design of his Hulk is 10 times better than Ruffalo's Hulk. The design, the look. It looks like the comic book come to life.
I think the newer ones look more like the comic book come to life. I think Avengers face looks more like
the comics.
These
ones, he looks like he's.
I'll fight you on that. I'm a big Hulk fan.
I think he looks kind of.
I probably got more Hulk comics than any other comic.
Like, if I saw Norton's Hulk come at me in a dark alley, I'm like, holy hell, this thing's going to be apart. But if I saw Ruffalo's, I'd be like,
well,
are you kind of like the dummy? Are you a dummy Hulk? Are you going to. Can I run behind you and you won't be able to see me?
Yeah, the dummy Hulk. Yeah.
I like the Hulk, like the mean, like.
Okay, so I'll give you this. So the Ed Norton Hulk, just to get a little too geek Hulky on a DC
Fair
show.
Fair enough, and the chat is curious why we are talking about
Marvel. I know.
We'll move on. Sorry.
Well, there is a phase. all right. So that's some first early reactions. It's not super fire. What do you guys think? Does this trouble you? Are you worrisome? Or are you...
I think it's going to be fun. It's supposed to be a fun movie, and I think it's going to be a fun movie.
I've started to get slightly worried about Aquaman in the last 2 months.
Okay. Let's talk. We're a support group. We're here to talk right here.
So, and I'm not saying worried like I'm done. Worried like some doubts are popping in for me. After Comic-Con, mm-hmm. watching that Shazam, I think that it was a teaser, not even a trailer, but it was really a trailer. I walked away being like, I have to see this movie. This speaks to me. I want this. Mm-hmm. After watching Aquaman, I was like, this looks interesting. And I'm in and I'm fascinated. But a lot of people didn't like the design of the world. I liked it, didn't love it. A lot of people didn't think that it was a cohesive story, which it's a trailer, so we're not telling a whole story in a trailer. And I've watched it about 100 times since, and I'm slightly concerned. I'm hearing not great buzz. I'm not saying I'm hearing horrible buzz, but I haven't heard any of these test screenings, because I think the second one where somebody walked away and was like, yes to this movie. I'm just starting to get a little nervous. A lot rides on this film for DC. A lot does.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm slightly concerned. I still am feeling positive, but with a hint of worry. I didn't mean to, like, mic drop just there.
No. I think that is a totally justifiable way to think. And, like, listen, that's the kind of thing that we can talk about on a show like DC Movie News.
There you go.
Is just, like, how we think. And, like, listen, you want it to be great. Anybody that's been listening to the show for 4 years know that you want it to be great. But we always start to hear the tea leaves. We live in this town. We hear the early
You're
things.
You don't hear the tea leaves. I don't even know tea leaves. I can't even trust tea leaves. You have got the inside voice, my friend, and I have constantly been proven wrong to your tea leaves, so I defer to the tea
leaves.
You're
more of a coffee guy?
I wouldn't even drink coffee. I'm like looking at, I don't know what I am compared to Adam. Adam, he reads it well, so I cannot.
Wow, thank you, man.
But every time we talk about the tea leaves, you're always right.
Are you guys sweating your balls off right now?
No. Wearing shorts feel good.
My balls are.
Crap, it's hot in here.
Feel good.
That's a powder up like gold.
Have the very balls with which you sweat. What do you guys think of the concept, the over, like the central dramatic question of Aquaman being, is the trident? I didn't realize that the focus is going to be on him getting the king's trident.
So it's like, the Raiders ocean. Of the Lost Ark, MacGuffin kind of situation.
We've heard that for a long time.
Right. But now it's like that seems to be like the main focus.
Here's my prediction. I think what we're going to see is a really exciting, entertaining film that does not break new ground. Would it be fair to say that? Is that like...
So compare it to another film.
Comparing it to the MCU films versus a Raiders of the Lost Ark film, which are all things that we love and know, but maybe not anything new. But those things are sort of like a comfortable pair of pajamas to put on, and it's going to be a swashbuckling, rollicking good time.
See,
better than a Pirates of the Caribbean movie. Maybe not as good as, like, Wonder Woman.
See, it seems like it's following the Wonder Woman story arc of get this magical device, and then it's you as the...
It's not about the plot, though. It's about introducing us to Arthur Curry and Aquaman. The plot is really secondary to what an origin film is. It's all about just, like, meeting Diana and her becoming Wonder Woman. This is about Aquaman becoming Aquaman.
Adam, this is a good point from the chat, though, because I do agree with what you're saying story-wise and character-wise, but say in the chat says visually they'll do stuff, and that's true. It might break ground in the same way that Avatar broke ground, which is just that we're creating a whole different kind of technology in the world.
Well, I will say this. If it does that, it will supersede expectations, and if it doesn't, it will meet... Or, undercut some expectations. I think that's a good point. And maybe these screenings, the effects aren't finished. We know we didn't see a trailer for this film because it's super effects laden. So if it is like a Gravity level or Avatar level, like moving the bar forward in terms of effects, then yeah, absolutely.
For me,
I don't know if it'll be that. Yes, Mike.
I can't ever trust anything like these. And even if they're overly
like
positive.
Like what, these screenings?
Yes, because for me, a film is not just the actors on screen with the story. It's everything. Like, I can guarantee the score was not done for this film. So for me, a score adds so, like, Mission Impossible, without that score, when it happens and it kicks in, you're just like, it's great, but you kick that score in, and it's everything. So for me, Aquaman, I don't judge it till the minute I'm sitting down. It's already screened for press. I agree. Like, on this, Roxy, I think we're different. I think Shazam is going to be a fun hour and a half in the theater. That's going to be fun as hell. This is like, that's awesome. We're Aquaman. It's going to be an immersive, like, in the trailer I've seen, they're in Egypt. They're jumping out of planes. They're running across rooftops in Italy. They're underwater. It's like, that's a world-spanning epic.
Yes.
Epic. Adventure. I love that. And I love when movies travel.
And I need
that.
But, like, here's my example. Mission Impossible Fallout, probably my favorite movie of 2018 so far. But I also love Mile 22. It is a small hour and a half action film that most people don't care about. But they're both in the same genre of spy film. Aquaman and Shazam are going to be the same thing. Aquaman's going to be this epic, world-spanning man. Shazam's going to take place in one city about this one guy's life. Mm-hmm. And I love both of them.
I loved Mission Impossible, but it wouldn't be my top 10 films of this year because I love it for what it is, but that's just not my... That's not the things that make my heart pound.
Right, and that's okay. And that's a good point, too. And like, while I love Mission Impossible, too, I would say that it's fair to say that at this point, this last film, it doesn't break new ground, right, but it's still amazing and delivers.
And has you on the edge of your
seat. And maybe that's right. what these... Aquaman early screening reactions are kind of, it feels like that's the pool that they're leading into. By no means does it feel like a train wreck at this point. And so I think if it's here, it could possibly get better. And we're going to hear more as we get closer over the next few months.
Another quick question for you guys. Colin Prime in the chat says, by the way, if you don't know what the chat is, you can join us on YouTube, on Popcorn Talks YouTube, every single Friday at 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. So you can be part of the show. Roxy. Colin Prime said, Mary Poppins will be number one. Is it going up against Mary Poppins?
Yeah, Mary Poppins and something else, too. Isn't there, like, another big movie, too? Is it Bumblebee as well?
That's in that same week-ish, two-ish, three-week-ish. Oh, but for me, like, Mary Poppins, I'm not going to see Mary Poppins. It's just not in my wheelhouse. It has nothing of interest to me. I probably will never see Mary Poppins.
Ever?
No, I just have no desire to.
You have a problem with a spoonful of sugar? You don't feel like it helps the medicine go down?
In the most delightful way?
No, it doesn't do anything for me. Doesn't do anything for me. But that's not to say it's not going to be a great film.
Do you want
to
know something really quick?
What's that?
Yeah.
Julie Andrews saved me from getting arrested as a high school kid.
Oh, boy.
Oh.
Wait. Why did you almost get arrested?
Why do I have a feeling that you had run-ins with the police like every week?
Because I was allegedly underage drinking, and when the police caught us, they came around and they asked everybody for their names and they wanted their IDs, and I said I didn't have my ID on me, and they asked what is your name, and I didn't want to get kicked off of my lacrosse team, and so I said Julie, and they said Julie what, and I said Andrews. And they said, okay, Miss Julie Andrews. And they wrote down my name.
The officers.
And every person I was with got kicked off their teams, was arrested, and they didn't get me because I ran after that. And they were looking for a Julie Andrews. Thank you, Julie.
They learned not to lacrosse you know, that day.
You know, what's the saddest part about this story
is Julie Andrews even play Mary Poppins? She was Sound of Music, but that is who played Mary Poppins, right? Is it?
I'm not the person to ask.
Yes, of course. Okay. Yeah. No. Julie Andrews also did get arrested for underage drinking, and she was well over age at the time. So that's what you should feel worse about in that story.
You guys were all looking at me like I was crazy, that was Julie.
I can't find the exact Aquaman competition, but it does look like it is Bumblebee and all that kind of stuff. I wasn't sure if it was like I thought it was three on the same weekend. Chat roll, do you know what I'm talking about? Anyway, I would think that you really want to have that weekend free and clear. You don't want to like be buried in a mix and just barely get one, or be, God forbid, number two and come out with like a $28 million, $35 million opening weekend for Aquaman. If you have three big releases, you could be in that $35, $45 million hole, possibly. I don't know. Look, all I'm saying is... you know, who knows? Or you could be 140. It's going to be all about the advance word. I mean, it's really...
But, you know...
Bumblebee looks good. But like, Bumblebee looks like a good Transformers.
Here's the thing. Bumblebee will do exceptionally well just because look at the past five Transformer films.
The last one didn't do well. They've been on a steady decline over
the first... They didn't do as well,
but they're still making $600, $700 million, $100 million. They're killing it.
Yeah,
so it's like there are people that will go to see
Christina
those.
Christina write it, I think, is good.
Yeah, well, listen, we have to move forward. I'm sorry, guys. There's so much to talk about. Kirstie Clemens was seen at an event recently, and then she was obviously asked about Flash. News, and basically she said that she had no news, no new updates. She couldn't really say anything until we, the public, were told. But what she did say was interesting is that DC has to approve every one of her upcoming projects and that she is not shooting a Flash movie within 2018.
Because she says, look at the projects I'm working on. This shouldn't be a surprise to anybody. I hopefully in 2019, but I'm booked.
Which is rapidly approaching.
Yes.
Yeah.
2019. When I first said that, I was like, oh, man, it got pushed back a year. I was like, oh, wait, that's like 5 months away. Yeah. And so it's like, okay. And weren't they the talk that January, February was when The Flash was shooting? I thought that was the...
Yeah,
they were
February,
kind of,
I think.
So that's nothing to worry about.
I agree.
It's pretty
But again, take its time. Who cares?
Yeah.
Take its time.
I'm glad, though, that she is a cautious actress.
Yeah.
She's smart.
And she was like, I'm not going to say anything because I want this job. Thank you very much.
Okay, guys, I'm going to bring you a live exclusive from our good friend, formerly inappropriately reported as a troll of the show. The angry texter who I have given a Eastern European accent, probably completely wrongfully, to Matthew Zavala is chiming in. Have you ever read Black Adam comics? Because there's a lot of great stories and characters they do in Trinity of Black Adam movies, like his show of Country of Conduct. His wife is the Black Adam family, the Black Region group, Felix, Faust, and others. I would like to see his journey from villain, anti-hero, to eventually being an ally to Billy Batson. Shazam. Also, much love to Elena and Roxy Stryer. I do not curse your womb any further. So that's Matthew Zavala.
That last line is not a real thing in there.
No love to me?
No,
I may be blessed with
Elena. Confirm or deny?
I get no love. Like I will have.
I didn't get love either.
Matthew Zavala.
This kid rips on me every single day.
He does beat on you something fierce, but we've come to somewhat of an understanding.
He's no longer cursing my womb. Thank you so much.
He's actually somewhat of a de facto correspondent to DC Movie News now at this point.
I know what Adam would sound like if his father was going to buy the ski slopes for evil purposes in a 1980s movie.
I love that. Yes, that was the most generic, strange, European, fairly offensive sounding accent that could be done.
Here's the good thing about it, though. It's definitely offensive, but I'm not quite sure to who.
That's the thing. Yeah. I think if you just sprinkle it across the board.
80s movie villains.
Yeah.
Obviously.
So what do you think about the Flash uptake? Getting back to Kiersey Clemons. I mean, I like
her. I'm excited for her Iris West. I'm glad she didn't speak too much. It didn't change anything in my mind.
But she said we have a director.
But
wasn't it two directors? I thought it was the two guys that were doing
it. I thought they were signed on for it.
I think she's just, again, being cautious and not saying, we have both the directors. Yeah. She's just saying, I don't want
to
lose my job.
Okay, let's move on then. There's nothing much to talk about there. But what about the fact that Alec Baldwin was about to be Thomas Wayne and then is not Thomas Wayne? And I'm sure you guys have been very aware of that story all week. So I guess, starting with you, Roxy, tell me, were you excited about him being in the film? And do you think there's anything up or what do you think's going on? What's your hot take, Roxy?
I have to say I was super excited about this announcement. I was really in, at the time of it being announced, I was actually watching his episode of Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee, and I just I really like Alec Baldwin. I love him. I think he is so freaking funny and fantastic, and I love him. When it was announced, I came out on Screen Junkies Universe, you guys can watch this, and I said, careful where we're getting this information from, because DC has not confirmed this. This is how the news cycle works. When Variety or THR or whatever prints something, people take that as fact.
Gospel.
But DC has not confirmed. Zazie Beetz hasn't been confirmed by DC. Other than Joaquin and Todd Phillips, DC has not made an announcement about this. So,
was De Niro official though?
De Niro's not official.
Oh, really?
Everybody's saying he is, and it doesn't seem like he's not, but I have not seen DC put out a yes.
Okay, well, just to interject real fast, what surprised me most was I know what a fan Baldwin is of De Niro.
Right.
So I just couldn't. And Baldwin doesn't seem to be too picky about his films. He's great in Mission Impossible. He was great in Black Klansman. He does whatever he wants, but I just, you know, to be in a film with De Niro,
why he initially was rumored to sign on was because he wanted to work with De Niro, but then his whole quote was that because they're trying to make it more of a Donald Trump-esque, kind of cheesy, overly tanned guy, he's been playing Donald Trump on SNL, and his exact tweet was, you know, it's not happening. Like, I am not playing this Donald Trump-esque character.
Here's what was so confusing about that, because you're dead right. What was confusing about his tweet is that he said, I am not playing a Donald Trump. There is a word that I didn't know. Right. Monkey. It sounded like monkey to me, but it was spelled differently, and I didn't know what it meant because whatever, college and stuff. I was a theater major. And he was saying, I'm not playing that. So people interpreted that as he is in the movie still, but he was not playing that specific role. Then in the next tweet, he said, I am no longer attached to this project. Now, people are confused on whether he was ever attached to this project or whether now he is not attached to it. Either way, he's no longer in it, if he ever was there. And if this ever was a conversation that was had about him being a Mankey.
Menkay.
Something that has failed. That
being from Boston, all of them are hot days to me.
Is that the official? Is something that has failed and could have been? We got the definition for you guys.
Basically, yeah, like a. He's saying he's not going to be like a failed Donald Trump esque character.
How have I pissed you off now, Mike?
What?
What do you think, Mike? Do you think that any of this was true? Do you think that that's what they wanted to take on Thomas Wayne to be? And do you think? Well, let me ask you this, Mike. Do you think because of the description of the character is why Alec Baldwin dropped out of the project?
Could be.
So wait, he didn't know how the character was written before he signed on? Or he was just in talks and then hadn't read the script?
This happened so fast. I don't know if I even have anything to say on it. I'm like, well.
Sounds like he didn't read a script, though. That's what I'm saying.
It sounds like he was in talks. He was like, De Niro's in it. Joaquin's in it.
Mark Maron is in it. Mark Maron has confirmed that he's definitely in it.
Yeah, but he wouldn't make a decision in a day that he was... Okay, I'm going to do it. I'm not going to do it in a day. That's not a day
thing.
I don't
think that he decided that he was going to do it. I think it was just I'll take the meeting. And then in the meeting, they were like, this is what you'll be playing. And he's like, I'm good.
Yeah, it's possible that it never got it past talks and people just picked up on it. But I don't know. That is weird that Reporter and THR would go with it. I mean, and again, why would Alec Baldwin not do it? The dude loves money. He's got young kids. Like, he's, you know, he does whatever he wants. He does game shows. He does talk shows. Alec Baldwin is living his best life right now.
We don't know 25 other guys who could do it.
Sounded like shade at the script.
Yeah. And we also don't know whether other offers are on the table for him right now. We don't know how this conversation went down. I feel like Alec Baldwin is somebody who is a businessman, though, and it's not like he would have just come out and been like, nah, I'm not doing this randomly. I think he looked at this as a non-good business opportunity for some reason that we're not privy to.
Correct.
Yeah.
Maybe the script.
Definitely, definitely. Okay, I'm curious as to what you guys out there think about the Baldwin business as well. And who is going to play Thomas Wayne? It sounds like Thomas Wayne is going to have a big role in this Joker film.
Yeah, big villainous role, man.
Yeah, well, you know what? They've kind of gone with the villainous angle of Thomas Wayne, like, certainly in the video games recently.
And Gotham, too.
What do you guys think about that? What do you guys think about the retconning of this guy is not a saint? Is that kind of an interesting way to go? Does that give another texture to the Dark Knight?
I don't want it to be in our bigger universe, our worlds of DC. I don't want it to be in our BVS world, because I think that it convolutes who Batman becomes. But in these... standalone one-offs, I'm okay with Thomas Wayne being whoever the hell is good for the story.
I would argue, though, that if you establish that sort of point of view about Thomas Wayne, you're never going to get much about Thomas Wayne in the other films that you're talking about, so it would almost become sort of like canon, just because this is the time that character was addressed, and not specifically like, this doesn't count. You know what I mean? So, I think that does address, it almost signs off canonically on the character.
We've got a silent nod from Mikey Christmas.
What do you think? I think he's a bad freak. I want to know.
I think it adds, like, my first reaction is like, no, Thomas Wayne's a good guy.
Right, of course.
But then when you've got Batman and Bruce Wayne his whole life, and then he finds out all these things about his father wasn't a good person, you're like, hold, the amount of story and drama that brings, these comics in these movies are nothing without drama.
And how much more relevant does it make it to today's climate, too? Yeah. Right?
Like, my father was not a good man. Not only am I defending criminals now, I've got to make up for my past and atone for my past sure I'm not this man. Like, how much are you what your parents are? And I think it's storyline that
right
that
or
just
wrong, you're
builds.
Making Bruce Wayne an atoning white boy. Yeah. Like, apologizing for, like, white... you know, oppression and power in a way. I mean, that's how it really does tie into today's climate, whether you want to, you know, put a pin on it or not. You know, it's
like...
Have
you guys heard this? Sky Patterson says Todd Phillips' Joker is a standalone film that's under WB's new banner, DC Dark / DC Black. It's a DC Elseworlds story. Have you guys heard it called DC Dark or DC Black?
Months ago, I have not heard an update
but that's,
about that.
That's
Sky Patterson, where's your update on that?
The problem with that...
Sky Patterson does a lot of fake news.
I don't think it's the problem with it. I think the comics are doing a black label series.
Okay.
And it's kind of being lumped in when it comes out online that certain news media is not talking Sky, that people that don't know this are reporting, oh, DC Black Label, that's what the films are going to fall under. And it's like, well, it's the comics that are telling adult stories.
Yeah. And listen, all I'm saying is like, I know that that's an Elseworld kind of thing, but I'm just saying, if you have a movie where you have Thomas Wayne as a major character, you're not going to really come back to Thomas Wayne in any other Reeves Batman movie and contradict that.
Yeah.
And like, so it's just, yes, it's Elseworld, but yes, story does kind of, there is this, you know, this canon, like, people are like how they are. And they seem to have been easing this retelling of the Waynes into the fabric of the DC universe slowly, you know, through the Telltale and through other things. And through Gotham, too. Didn't Gotham deal with this, too? And, like, doesn't Court of Owls kind of deal with this kind of thing?
Yeah.
So I think it's good stuff.
Someone that powerful is never clean.
Thank you. Yes, we know that. We know that, with the exception of our very good president. Here's another interesting point that, like, DC films could be outpacing Marvel by 2020 because, as we know, in 2019, we have 3 Marvel movies, as Marvel has been producing since 2017, and we have 3 DC movies. And it doesn't seem like DC is going to be doing...
So when we're talking about outpacing, we don't necessarily mean financially, we mean...
We just mean product.
Yeah. Which, that is where it kind of ties in, that it's good to have, even though it could affect the overarching look of some of, you know, the Thomas Wayne characters and then potentially some other characters when it's brought in with the DC Dark or DC Black, as they may or may not be calling it, is that because it's now being opened up to all of these other movies, now it gives DC the opportunity to potentially outproduce Marvel because they don't have to be all in the same cohesive universe.
Exactly. So, everything's not under, like, Kevin Feige and his small group of people that oversee these movies and they keep them very tight. You have a looser continuity, and so you can have more production going on, essentially.
So that's kind of the payoff of what could be potentially foreseen as skewing some of the characters.
When you put it like that, it almost seems like this was always the philosophy they should have adapted. You know, but it's like, this is what we know from hindsight, because, you can have New Line over here, you can have this Dark doing this, and then Birds of Prey, and then you have your couple of two big $150, $200 million movies, and before you know it, you're at 4 movies a year without even trying.
And, I mean, look at the success of DC Rebirth. Like, I mean, it makes sense that the movies would kind of follow the same type thing, where it's like, you know, we can kind of change things up, and we can have...
This just dawned on me.
Okay, dawn of a new mic, what's up?
Thought... That maybe, because again, it's most people, and not most people, people see it as it's just the movies and that's all the people involved. But DC is a conglomerate, Warner Brothers, all under the same banner. Look at the animated films. They do 2 a year in the DC New 52 verse, and then they'll throw out a Killing Joke. Not part of it, different animation.
Mm-hmm.
Are they just doing, like, we're going to set films in the DC universe? And then we're going to throw a random film out there that's not attached. We're not going to say it's not attached, but it's just a film we wanted to make.
So you're saying, are they basically following their own animation model that they've been sort of phasing in?
I don't, maybe.
I think that's a great technique.
Because that works, because it gives people what they want, but if you don't like this DCEU, you've got this other film.
I don't know if they're doing that, but I like that.
Yeah. And I don't know if they are, but...
It does feel that
they
way.
They are synergistic in the sense that the DC... And the WB people, that's all one kind of entity.
Mm-hmm. Essentially,
why they moved them from New York to be here, the comics and animation people, because they all want them under the same roof. But it's like, and I don't think that's officially what they're doing, but it seems it.
Isn't it also like, for the price of 3 Marvel movies, you can make 4 DC movies? If 2 of them are in that $50 million range and 2 of them are in the big range, aren't you getting just now more potential chances to hit... on more risks?
By dropping the budget.
And not just going $180 million, $150 million.
And not to play... Devil's advocate, but
to yourself.
General audiences, and I'm not saying this in a negative term, don't understand that.
Yeah.
We have been trained by Marvel to view a cinematic universe. Any comic, like Spawn, when that finally comes out, they're going to want a Spawn cinematic universe. Like, what's next in this universe? They're not going to go, oh, what is Image's different character?
I agree, maybe the first year they don't understand, but at some point, people are smart.
Yeah. Eventually, yes, but we are in that weird, nebulous area.
Like, considering that now, not only is it smaller budget, it's that they're having lesser-known directors and lesser-known actors who are giving 100% into it, who are... And directors who are
more
able
freedom.
To... Yeah, who have more creative freedom and are able to really... Because audiences, whether or not they understand a full cinematic universe and deviating from that, they understand going to a movie and it being good.
But, yes,
and it having a through line that makes sense.
If we saw BVS and then we went and saw The Joker, she wouldn't care that it was 2 different Thomas Waynes or even know that it was 2 different Thomas Waynes. But she loved both. She could enjoy both films and love them and go, that was awesome. And it didn't
matter to her. It all harkens back to having a central dramatic question that is evident and that is... completely echoed throughout the movies. That's why certain ones do really well and the ones that have really loose CDQs don't. And if we have smaller budgets with directors that are focused on the actual storyline, then intrinsically you're going to have a better story, which then reflects better onto the characters, makes the characters more relatable, which then makes them more loved, which then makes people want to spend more money on things related to that character. It's a good business model.
Batman Anthony, I'm hoping you can pull this up for me because this was in the chat and I hadn't seen this. Interesting from yesterday because we're talking about the Joker too. Theodoros in the chat says, did you see the new photos of Joaquin Phoenix being quite a bit thinner for the Joker role? You guys see this?
I just read about this before we came in. I haven't seen, but yeah, if you look at him.
I'm hoping you can pull that up, Batman Anthony.
In his last film, he definitely is a beefier.
You were never really there.
It's not. That's not the name of the movie. I saw it. And it's
I saw
not,
it too.
It's
you were never really here. Here. You were never really here.
You were never really here.
I saw that film and he was beefy. He was big in that film. He had like a big gut and everything. But he's
yeah. Look
you know,
at this photo.
He's a pretty method dude. Is that recently?
I don't know. The one I'm looking at is not that one, but Batman Anthony pulled up that one, so that might be recently.
Okay, I don't know. Yeah.
The one I'm looking at is a picture of him smoking a cigarette.
Yeah, that's just Jared.com.
In the blue shirt with the hair.
See, I don't know what these actors look like. I don't see them on a regular basis anyway, so...
Yeah, well, because they disappear, and they go, and they're getting their shape for their next movie, and then they reappear, and, like, they're in the film.
It's by the way, I was thinking about this the other day. Men do this all the time for roles. We don't see women do that as often. It is more challenging for women to put on weight and to lose weight, both, typically, because of how we are born, but... Charlize Theron does this all the time. I'm unclear if that's on purpose.
Oh, there you go. Oh, my God. Oh, yeah, yeah. Super emaciated. Yeah. Oh, no, he looks like the Clown Prince of Crime. Like, that is classic Joker right there.
Yeah.
He's looking like a 1980s, 1990s freaking classic Joker. Possibly the first time we've ever seen that on camera.
If he ever wants to terrorize a ski movie, we got Adam.
I think this movie's going to surprise the hell out of everyone.
I think this is going to be the crazy, like...
Well, this is a film that a lot of people are excited about that don't give a rat's patootie about the other DC films. It's the only thing that sounds interesting to people, because Todd Phillips and Joaquin, like, both make amazing films. Why would you not be excited about this film?
Talk about breaking new ground.
We have to move on, because we have to get to TV time, guys. We had a couple of things to talk about. I don't really think the Supergirl thing really... We're just like, there is rumor of a Supergirl film. There's people who want directors. There's no real stuff
She's the one from Handmaid's Tale who directed the first three episodes of it.
Internal wish list, though. So we don't even know really where this film is.
You and I got caught up in the lie. Remember someone said it, and you and I were both commenting, and then it like got debunked instantly on Twitter. I think it was the Supergirl casting of the director, and you were kind of throwing spaghetti at a wall.
Yeah.
And I said something, and then 5 minutes later, I was like, nope, sorry, it was...
Just be careful
what you read, guys. Be careful what you read.
Because there's so much rumor mongering out there.
On Twitter, yes.
And then I tweeted something, and then people started attacking me. Right. I was down within 13 seconds, and I was like, can you give me a break?
Yeah,
like, just, I saw something. Because it was tweeted by Deadline, but it was Deadline's fake Twitter account.
Yeah, it was... It's
called,
Just be careful. I've gotten caught up in stuff.
Rick Morano may or may not be doing Supergirl.
We will move on to TV time, but first I just wanted to speak out one more time for our correspondent in the field, Matthew Savella.
I also hear they are making Trinity DC movie with Wonder Woman being lead actor. She will be joined by both Supergirl and Batgirl because of how different people have seen Superman and Batman in DCU, and also because of what's been happening with both Ben Affleck and Henry Cavill. That is all. Mikey Christmas, you are a believer.
So that's Matthew Zavala in the field.
You
one more time.
Will be a true believer. Anyone?
No. I got nothing.
Temple of Doom. Molaram. I will make you a true believer.
You know what
Dr.
you sound
Jones?
Like? You sound like Mowage. Mowage. That's what that voice was.
From what was the last voice we did? Scottish.
Mowage.
And
Birds of Prey may have cool stuff.
Yes, exactly. Birds of Prey may have cool stuff. Well, so it seems like, just to tie in Birds of Prey real quick, it seems like that would be the next movie in that lower budget cycle. So just to say, like, kind of taking the same place of Joker movie, it seems Birds of Prey is
However,
the next one.
And
in
now
that.
They are going to have Cassandra Cain be the little girl that they rescue, which why it makes sense that they won't have Batgirl as part of it is because they're changing the timeline. So everybody was like, why would Batgirl not be a part of it?
Well, she's Batgirl or Batwoman? If Bat it's Girl. Kane, that would be Batwoman. Batwoman. So I think Batgirl. Well, they're
saying Batgirl isn't going to be in it either. But then it's to lay the claims later for Batwoman. I
personally believe, because of how they take their Bat properties, I believe there's no way on earth that Batgirl or Batwoman is in the Birds of Prey movie. That's my call right now.
I don't think so at all.
I think you leave it out, because it's going to be the Matt Reeves Batman. They want to build a lot of hype for that when that eventually happens, when that
clears the way. It's going to be cool that they're going to do some diverse casting for Black Canary, though.
We just have a little bit of time left, but we should go do Rockstar's TV time right now. We have
to
move.
You guys have tried to push me away. You tried to stop it.
It's just been fun talking to you guys today.
You couldn't stop it if you tried. Adam, that cooking
Matthew
is good.
Matthew Zavala in
hey,
the field.
Hey, by the way, I haven't had any of your sausage in a really long time. I have to go there and buy it myself now, because you haven't brought me any gifts.
I will bring you some of the T-Mac sausage
What's that?
Next week. If I can.
I can't do anything with cheese, though.
Oh, that's right. That one has cheese in it. Okay.
I know.
Why not?
I'll take her cheese.
I don't like it.
What's that?
Okay. I'll take her cheese.
Oh, my God. It's so good.
I miss the surf and turf.
Okay. So, what do we got, Roxas Trier?
We got a lot going on, and I guess we're putting this in TV time again. We talked about this early in the episode, where we don't really know where this lies, because it has to do with movies and TV and comic books, DC Universe.
Kind of like our show. We deal with everything.
That's
we don't
true.
Know where to put us.
Yes.
We're DC movie news, but we talk TV, we talk comics, we talk animation.
We never were originally going to talk any of that stuff, but then we grew, and so we do.
Yeah, we had to
adapt.
Because there was so little movie news. We only had one movie at a time or anything. You know, we just had to have other stuff to talk about.
So we did actually get that first episode of Kevin Smith's new show, and it had a ton of different people.
A plethora of hosts.
Including somebody from the Popcorn Talk Network, so very exciting. And Adam, I know you checked this out also. It seems like it's going to be a show where they're just going to hit you with fun DC light stuff going on.
I think movie news, announcements, TV stuff, obviously. It's interesting. It seemed like there are a lot of people. They're building a big team of correspondents in the field.
Right.
I know we were kind of joking, saying that we were going to be the subs ready to go in. Clearly that was not to be. But, very much congratulations to all the people that did score those very sweet gigs.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, for a host, that's a very sweet gig.
100%. And Tiffany helming that, she's at the helm, and she obviously has been DC's girl for quite some time now, and she kills it. So that's really fabulous for her.
And
it's coming. The app, though, is getting released at a certain time that is in this article somewhere.
On the 15th, Batman Day.
Right.
So, I guess really quickly, since we have to move on to other things too, what are you guys' general thoughts about the app? I know Mike alluded, you had something to say because you had a lot of this stuff. For me, I'm excited about having it because I like the idea of being able to throw just all that DC random stuff up in one spot, and I buy less and less physical media, and the Batman animated series has me excited. I'm so excited about Doom.
You got
Doom
Patrol, the Blu-ray?
I don't think so, man.
Oh, come on. I pre-ordered it. It's only $87.
I know, but
dude,
it's all going to be there, and it's remastered.
No, I gotta own it. I own the Blu-ray. I pre-ordered that two months ago.
I find myself less and less putting the disc in the machine.
Oh, I love
just
it.
Just being honest, I do it less and less.
I still do. I'm a holdout old school.
And I love the 4K stuff, man. I'm a 4K junkie. That's why I get every
4K?
Big release. Yeah.
Anybody who says
I like
only
having
$87 has not seen my bank account recently.
I know, I love that. Mike's I'll pay. It's only $87. I'm not paying the $14 for the streaming.
Because here's the thing. And this is the thing. A lot of times I watch streaming. I watch Netflix all the time. But it'll start pixelating and lagging, catching up. It does
See,
that,
for
and
me,
that's
traveling
life.
All the time, that's, I love
oh,
having
I
everything on
yeah.
my phone.
But it's
one
just
app,
like,
one
I
place, internet.
I agree. I think we have to move forward, though, off of this.
Yes,
answer.
We do.
Yeah, but can I just say something about the DC? This is something that, and we talked about with FX. On a show that is owned by a corporation, you will not get opinionated views. We all have Aquaman. We all have five different opinions on Aquaman.
Yes.
Or four different opinions. Johnny's here to five. That's what gives us, that's what I think we bring to the table. You know, saying you work for FX, you're not going to be allowed to, there's certain things you can talk about.
100%. When I do when we do a movie on FX, we're just talking about the film and we're saying,
facts,
positive things. If I feel really strongly about a film that I love, I'll say that. If not, you don't say anything negative because we're selling a product that's already on their air, which is what this all access will it be is. The DC Universe or not the all access, the daily.
Right.
But yeah, so what we do is opinion, and that's why I like to do this show, because most of the stuff I do work for corporations. I do infomercials, I do TV, and I'm very lucky to get to do the things I do. But what's fun about coming here is that there's nobody who gives a shit about what I say. I had to like do this Kit Kat thing yesterday until they were basically like taking all the fun out of everything. Or just play it straight. I'm like, what's straight?
Yeah.
You know, getting so frustrated. What do you mean straight? I'm not like playing an affect or anything. But anyway, it's very rewarding to do that. So yeah,
I agree.
I'm very happy to have had so this. Not,
I'm glad you. I'm glad you.
It's not
that.
A well this or them type thing. It's not.
I think they're gonna have a great product, and we're gonna continue having a great product. Let's move on to Swamp Thing because I know Adam will cry if we don't talk about it. So there's a you want to jump in before I even tell you what it is?
Yeah, just the idea that Len Wiseman might be doing the pilot.
Yeah, so this is somebody that he's created shows, but he also directs a lot of pilots. Stuff. He directs a lot of pilots. Did the Lucifer pilot, which is I'm a huge fan of. Did the Sleepy Hollow pilot. Did the Hawaii 5-0 pilot. He's working on Sin City. He did The Gifted.
He's Underworld?
Yeah, Underworld.
He did all the Underworld movies, right?
Yeah, he's an Underworld guy, so Underworld Evolution.
That did not impress me.
No. I was trying to think. I thought he directed the Ninja Turtles 2014, but he didn't.
Mm-hmm. I don't think so.
Who did that?
I'll tell you.
Yeah, he was the guy that did the Total Recall. Wiseman and...
Well, if the news is still true that James Wan is involved as a producer, and like if James Wan is still involved on the overall take and that they're working together, then this news excites me very much. I can't say that there's like a Len Wiseman property that I'm like the biggest geek over, but a director of that caliber who's done so many major films... Working with someone like a James Wan's mind and what their take is. I'm so excited. Are we going to get a guy in a suit? Is this an all digital Swamp Thing? Like, what are we going to get? I can't even wait to see. So,
I hope you're in that suit.
I would love to be in that suit. I'm not tall enough, I don't think. I think you got to get a big guy in that suit.
Like me. Yeah. Perfect for that. Adam's very favorite, Tudyk, who has how many dicks?
It's T-U-D-Y-K. I don't know what you're implying, but yes, it's Tudyk.
He was cast as Mr. Nowhere in Doom Patrol. Doom Patrol is something that I think everybody at this table is pretty excited about. Yeah. And we just keep getting more and more casting that is making me pumped.
Mikey, do you know the villain, Mr. Nowhere?
I got him confused with Mr. Nowhere on the Spider-Man game, but it's not. I've never missed Mr. Nobody.
It's probably going to be voiceover.
Only, yeah, it almost looks like it'd be CGI. But
so much like what Brendan Fraser's doing?
Yeah,
yeah, but we're actually going to see flash
about Brendan Fraser too.
But it's not like him because we're going to see flashbacks of him when he was in his body.
So you think Tudyk is just going to be just a voice?
I don't know, but that would be the difference.
I could see him. He's a busy man. It's voiceover
something you can knock out in a day.
Yeah, possibly. He is a very, very busy man.
He was the chicken in Moana.
We also got a Black Lightning season 2 poster that was released.
I'm digging that. It's got that like.
Yeah, it's got a
70s
vibe totally.
Oh, that's awesome.
I love it.
Yeah, it looks pretty, pretty baller. Yeah. And God, I love the show. If you're not watching any of the other CW shows, just start watching this one because it's its own show and it's really baller. Speaking of DC shows, though, we have had such a little amount, but we still have Preacher. And
it's the finale.
Yo.
It just ended.
It was so fire.
It was such a good finale.
I thought literal fire.
Don't you say it's so lit? Isn't it lit?
It was lit.
It was lit.
Both,
like hell.
Both the last two episodes, because I hadn't seen the previous one, so I got to binge two in a row on Sunday. And definitely, if you want a longer review, check out Elena on AfterBuzz TV's review from
Karen Stassman, who was Dr. Slavnik, who injected the Humperdoose, was on the show. So,
oh, gosh. Yeah,
so I got some really great news about Preacher last night, actually, because I've loved the crap out of the show, as I've told you. And last night, my dad is in town, and he's like, are you watching that Preacher show? He's like, you caught up? My dad, totally not even knowing, I don't think that it was a DC show.
That's amazing.
My mom, not watching it, not a fan at all, too much, too silly, too gross. My dad has been down with the Preacher. And so, like, it's funny.
You didn't
even
know.
I didn't even know. And, like, he, like, talked to me about the Yankees last night. I'm like, Dad, I really don't care about baseball. But he'll never acknowledge that fact. But the fact that he could talk some Preacher made me really happy.
That's awesome. I love that.
And I loved it. And I thought it was great. And very satisfying finale. Yeah, what a good show. What a
good show. But they have to have another season because of one major thing they changed from the comics. And I'm like, if you don't rectify this next season.
Ooh, I'm not sure what you're talking about.
Yeah, I don't know exactly what you're talking about.
Can we talk about that?
Okay, so after. I don't want to spoil anything.
Okay, we won't do spoilers. I'll tell you after. So that's TV time. That's what we got this week.
All right, guys. I guess that is our show for today. Thank you very much for joining us on DC Movie News. What a pleasure it was, as always, to be joined by these people. Please, Mikey, Christmas, tell the people where to find you out there.
Oh, at Mike Kalinowski. That's where you can find me.
Do you have any matches or fights or anything?
I'm starting the team tournament. Okay. You guys watch Collider, the Schmodown.
So
Anarchy Tournament is starting.
Who's your new teammate? I'm your former teammate.
Right. Yeah. I think they might have had a little fun at my expense because I'm giving some person I've never met before. He is a fan of the show.
What? He's supposed to be the new biggest stud in the league.
That's what
so
they
who's,
say.
Who's
okay,
having
they say
fun
that.
At your expense?
They say that. They say he's like some. It's like the fantasy football of Schmodown. He is like undefeated, dominant. Puts Dan Merle to shame.
Strong potential rookie.
I think this is ridiculous talk. I think they really effed me over because of everything that had happened. You know, if two of those people at this table are sitting there, one's champing it instantly. So here we go. So we'll see what happens. I don't know. I'm not expecting big things.
Okay.
So
all right. So
you know, they try
and
knock you down, but we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens.
You get back up again. They're never going to keep you down. Never. Roxy Stryer, tell the people.
Dumping. Yeah.
Pissing the night.
I'm Roxy Stryer. You guys can find me at Roxy Stryer. Also, check out my Patreon. Patreon.com/RoxyStryer. I've been doing a lot of different reviews there. And this next upcoming week, I'm actually taking a trip to Vegas for the Bohemian Rhapsody junket. And I'm going to try to put some behind-the-scenes stories there, meeting the remaining members of Queen and partying with them a little bit.
That's awesome.
Hopefully I have some fun Patreon behind-the-scenes exclusive. I'm doing that for Screen Junkies, though. So, yeah, excited about that.
Very cool.
And you guys can find me on Twitter at Elena Jordan and on Instagram at That Elena Jordan Girl. And tickets for the makeup show for Hawaii are on sale now. So
all right, so if you missed your first opportunity for Hawaii, get in it. I also have some cool stuff with Bohemian Rhapsody coming up. It's a Fox movie. I'm going to be talking to the cast, and that interview should be on FXM in the next couple of weeks. And also some good stuff with Olivia Munn coming up for The Predator. Oh. I think I'm doing a Q&A with her. Very excited. I'm just excited to get to see The Predator movie.
I'm seeing it so soon.
Oh, me too. We'll talk about
that. Yeah,
we
got to talk about it.
So you find me at Adam Gertler, and I look forward to seeing you very soon on DC Movie News.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
I can pee up.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of its owners or principals.